You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Getting over a little sinus thing going on, Rob, but my voice is a little deeper. You notice that?
Yeah, it sounds nice.
It's like Sam Elliott. Oh, thank you, Rob. You never compliment me. Sound like Sam Elliott. You know who Sam Elliott was?
Yeah, he's on the ranch with Dax.
He's on the ranch with Dax, but I was thinking more like...
That's the version of Sam Elliott you're talking about,
the
right?
The dude. I'm talking about Big Lebowski, the dude, or Coors. The banquet beer, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited about this podcast like I always am about podcasts that are actually good. But this one's special. This is someone who's been in the, in the news, in pop culture for what, how many years?
For like 25, 30 years.
30 years. This is, you know him from Home Alone. You know him from, what's the movie with... The fat guy, John
Home Alone
Candy,
2?
Not Home Alone 2, but he was also in
Uncle
Home Alone
2.
Uncle Buck, which he's got a fascinating story. Macaulay Culkin is on the show. We talk about even Michael Jackson, and I was a little bit nervous at the end, but I was like, hey, I got to ask you this. And he was very forthcoming, one of the nicest guys ever. He just shows you how, you know, you can survive after being a child star. He sort of seems happy to me. He seems like he's... I like this guy. I mean, we went to camp together. We talk about this, the camp that we went together. Macaulay Culkin is our guest. Why don't you have a listen? Let's get inside Macaulay.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
How do you feel about listening to yourself?
I'm good with it.
You like it?
Yeah. I mean,
do you like your voice?
Not really. But also, really? I just will say it's kind of in the middle. I'm not a fan, but it's not like I don't like I don't need the sound of my own voice. Like No one likes the sound
of their own voice.
It's that kind of
Speak
thing where
for yourself, fellas.
Yeah. Well, it's that kind of thing where it's like you hear yourself on an old answering machine or something like that, or a voicemail, yeah. And you go, I don't sound that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like listening to myself on my podcast, I'm like, I guess I sound that way.
Have you done a lot of voiceover work?
Not in a while. When I was a kid, I used to do like a lot more.
Animated?
Animated kind of stuff. I had my own Saturday morning television show.
What was that called?
It was called Wish Kid. We did one season of it. Saturday morning cartoon. But also, this is like early 90s, so it's like Rosie O'Donnell had her own one. You know, John Candy, Life with Louie. Remember Louis Anderson had one? Bobby's World, that was Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, so I was...
So you had your own?
I had my own, yeah.
Wish Kid.
I had a magic baseball glove that would grant wishes.
Really? That sounds kind of fun. Why didn't that work?
How did it work?
Why didn't it work?
Because I mean it was a cheap 90s cartoon thing. They also put us up against the Ninja Turtles, which is like a great idea. Like, you know, but yeah.
Like, well, now you've done like a lot of Robot Chickens because you're friends with Seth.
Yeah.
I actually just emailed them and said, hey, man, I was watching Robot Chicken, man. I'd like to do a line or something on that show someday.
Have you not done it yet?
That's what he said. He goes, you haven't done it? I'm like,
yeah.
No.
No, it seems like it's in your wheelhouse, the kind of thing that, yeah, I'm surprised you haven't.
I love weird shit. I love, like, you know, pop culture.
Well, I don't do it as much as I'd like, and that's what he always kind of says in general. He goes, yeah, everybody always says, why have you had me on in a while, kind of thing. So, he hasn't done it in the last 2 years, but I used to always do the New York Comic Con panels. Like for that, even though like I wouldn't be on at all that season, like I'm just there randomly. Yeah. It was like my random 1 year, like, you know, every you know, yeah. Once a year you get to see Macaulay Culkin live. There you go. I'd show up and I always say beforehand, I go, don't worry, let me handle all the technical questions. You guys do the rest. So, you know,
Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I really appreciate you being here.
Oh yeah, no, thanks for having me. We've had a good time. We've only met since you did my. My podcast.
I did Bunny Ears.
The Bunny Ears podcast.
I had a blast. Yeah. I think, you know what, you know, if somebody asked me what's Macaulay Culkin like, I gotta say very bright, very random.
Nice, yeah.
Very creative.
Okay. Yeah.
And sort
Go
of
on.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it's because of your history and your career and the personal shit and all the stuff that you've gone through that you just kind of seem like you found yourself.
Yeah, I'm in a really cool place. I've actually been pretty comfortable in my own skin for a while. There was probably a big chunk of time where, like, yeah, I mean, I'm always in a unique position. I'm kind of peerless in a certain kind of way. You know, there wasn't somebody I could, like, approach or someone I could look to the left or the right and kind of go, oh, yeah, you know how it is. Like I never really had that kind of
Couldn't really
thing.
Relate to
so
someone.
So I had to really kind of figure a lot of this stuff out on my own. So, you know, it was through trial and massive error, you know, here I am. But I'm a, you know, yeah, no, I'm a... You know, I'm a strong, confident, fierce bitch here.
This is my first beer on the podcast. We're having a Corona.
Oh, there you go. Here, it's, cheers, cheers.
Cheers, hey.
Cheers. Beer podcasting.
Yeah, Bob. It's actually Rob.
Yeah, yeah. But Rob, hey, Bobby.
Rob, my producer here. He doesn't want to drink. He says he has to drive.
Oh,
and look, I mean, even,
there you go. That's good for him. He's well, you hired a responsible person. Look, yeah, a responsible young man.
Well, he's 29 years old. He's got a child. He's he's.
Tell me more about Rob.
Yeah, he's with
I'm
it.
30, actually.
Oh,
you had to say that.
Yeah, you had to say it. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
He does it every episode.
Oh, yeah. But how do you feel about being 30? Because, like, I was dreading, by the time I was 25, I was dreading 30. Like, by the time I hit my 30th birthday, I was like, oh, thank God these 20s are over with.
Yeah, I was kind of the same.
Yeah, yeah, just done.
Yeah. Yeah. 30.
Yeah, there you go.
I kind of wish I was maybe back in my 30s a little bit. I'm 46.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations. Like, it doesn't show.
Really?
No, yeah. I would have thought that we were about the same age. Like we could have gone to the same.
No,
high school
look
together.
You look younger. You look like a solid 31.
Oh, thanks,
and
man.
You're 38.
38. Yeah.
I'm not even blowing you. You look young.
Oh, thanks, man.
You still
man.
Have the youthful charm. Now there were those days where I've seen pictures with the long hair and the scraggly, and you kind of look like maybe a little older, a little bit dirtier.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was doing my band thing.
Like, yeah, you're talking about your band thing before this, and I didn't really know about the band. I read something about it, but it was like. The Pizza Underground, it's like the Velvet Underground. You played songs, but you incorporated pizza.
About pizza. You know, take a bite of the wild slice.
Now, was that during a time where Macaulay did know Macaulay and he was searching? Or you kind of like,
no.
It and you were like, I'm fucking doing this. I'm having fun.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was the four other band members were already kind of toying around with this idea kind of thing. And they said, oh, we're going to do this open mic at the Sidewalk Cafe. Do you want to come? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And so we did that, and then we recorded something in my living room of just, like, we had, like, an 8-minute medley is what we had.
Right.
Kind of just playing, doing a verse chorus of a bunch of Velvet Underground songs, but just, you know, yeah, waiting for the delivery man, you know, like that kind of thing. And then we posted, one of our bandmates posted it on a Bandcamp. Totally forgot about it. And then a month later, I woke up to about 40 texts and 20 calls. I thought someone died. Before I even looked at him, I just assumed that, like, oh, my God, when you get this many calls, like, something bad happened.
But this was a good thing.
Oh, yeah, no, it was everybody was saying, like, oh, my God, are you in a pizza band? And it kind of just, like, blew up. So it was, like, our, like, second or third gig. We were doing this place.
Now, are you a singer?
I mean, I'd sing in it. I mean, I can carry a tune and all kind of stuff.
But you didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Again, balls to the wall.
No,
like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're a comedy act, essentially. You know, we're a parody band.
Right, so you don't need to sing that well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a Tenacious D, even though he could sing.
Yeah, he can fucking sing, you know, yeah. But, yeah, it's also usually five of us singing on top of each other a little bit. So it's like, yeah, like, you know, it's a good way to hide everyone's weaknesses, essentially.
Right.
And, yeah, so we were going to do this show, and it was at a place called Baby's All Right, and it's like in January, where it was fucking like cold as a witch's teat in New York. And
sure.
We met at a bar around the corner, and we turned the corner, and there was a line like four people wide and stretch around the block, you know, because we hit kind of, I think, a Brooklyn hipster like sweet spot, I think, of just kind of this weird kind of just a weird idea, like, you know, and just.
And so you started performing around, because I also read
next thing you know, we had like an agent and we're doing stuff.
But then I read somewhere like, so it went on for a bit and you were doing a gig in the UK and someone threw some shit at you.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. I'll say, cause I've gone on tours with other bands so far. The UK is a very, very rowdy crowd anyway. They're more, and listen, people will throw shit all the fucking time. Like, we'll give up free pizza and like next thing you know, like they're throwing it at our drummer or something like that. Like,
right.
just because they're a-holes.
And you didn't take offense to that.
Well, I was worried because it was a lot of glass. They were serving out of glass and somebody threw something and it hit the ceiling and kind of shattered on the whole front, like two rows. And then
so they almost hurt you.
And the thing is, you kind of don't really want to acknowledge that, because if you go, hey, if you do that one more time, we're going to leave the stage.
Right.
Like, if you say shit like that, they're going to next thing you know, you're going to get like eight of them in your face. But you know, it started actually getting dangerous for the crowd and stuff like that. And
so you just said, I'm not doing this show anymore.
Yeah, no, it was like, yeah.
We made a decision then.
We were 15 minutes into like a 45 minute set, and it was kind of just like, listen, this is dangerous, guys. Like, for real, like we're done. Like, you know, yeah, just, you know, you guys have a really good rest of your festival.
Was there any altercations at all with anybody there?
No. That was the whole idea, is that you didn't want it to get more rowdy.
Cause right.
I've been around the block, cause I've toured with other bands before, and that usually, like, by that I mean, like, I'm like tour mom. Like I hang out in the van of the bus and I help with the load ins and load outs.
That's the thing,
and
you're like
traveling.
A regular dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you just like to just, you want to just fit in like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, can I just be a regular guy? Why do I have, especially like with like technology now, it's almost impossible to like be yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as they put cameras on phones, I was like, God, oh, Jesus. You're like, you know, they, I'm fucked. We're all fucked.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Do you ever, I mean, I don't see you as, I don't know you that well, but like, are you a guy that kind of, are you a patient man? Do you lose your shit? Has Macaulay ever been like, fuck you?
No. No, I'm actually, like, whenever you see me mad, that's a very, very rare kind of thing. Like, you know, I can get upset and I know, but I used to be, when I was younger, I was the kind of guy, like, if, like, things weren't going well on a video game, like, I can't tell you how many, like, freaking consoles I broke by, throwing a controller at it. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, no, people who, like, know me, like, as an adult, they go, like, I would never see you ever being that kind of way. I'm a very, very even, zen, patient
healed
man.
You know, yeah. I don't really lose my... I've lost my shit probably, I'm going to say, 4 times in the last couple of years.
I could see you doing that, like, and not on a regular basis, but I can see that in you. That you have a fire.
When someone pushes me to a certain point where it's just like, you know, being really passive-aggressive or really like, you know, and it takes a lot, but my drummer, I love him to death, my drummer in the band, he... you know, he's the only person that can really, I love him. I love Kent, but he fucking fires me up, man. Sometimes he'll just be like, I'll go, hey, can you just give a little pop to the guy? He goes, what do you mean pop? Or, you know, just a little energy to that. He's like, that's what I've been doing, man. And it just becomes conversation that, and I just start, and it takes a minute.
He's starting to poke you with a stick.
And then I go, what the fuck?
That's just energy, would you?
Yeah, but I try not to lose my shit. But I remember once I was probably in grade school. My friend Danny Cutter, I went over to, and we played Atari Pac-Man before school started.
Oh, God,
started.
That was the worst,
and
Pac-Man.
But it was the best for then.
Yeah, the
and
best
I
worst.
I remember winning. I remember beating his record. The second I beat the record, he unplugged the game, and I took that fucking joystick, that little fucking rubbery joystick, and I swear to God, I launched it at his face 10 feet away.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if it's broke, because there's blood everywhere. His mom goes, Michael, leave. Mm-hmm. Leave now. I'm like,
you're not welcome in my house.
I mean, it was just a rude thing to do. You don't do that shit, man. Yeah. You don't fuck a guy's old Pac-Man.
Yeah. You don't fuck with someone's Atari. Like,
yeah. So you're even keel. You're a pretty normal guy. You've dated some beautiful women.
Thanks.
I mean, you're dating a beautiful woman.
I agree.
You do. I mean, what is the charm? Because you're obviously charming. Well, but you don't look like a guy who would go up and try to pick up a girl.
Well, no, I mean, I've always been very forthright. I'm honest and forthright, and I'll just...
Like, if I'm a girl, what would you say to me? If you wanted...
Hey, you look like Michael Rosenbaum.
that's the first thing, a fucking beer bottle.
Yeah. I'll take an Atari controller, like, this is for your buddy, Ken, whatever. Here you go, in your face.
But, like, this guy who's a celebrity who's had enormous success and success, all this stuff, but it's like, you know, you think of, like, guys like, Chris Evans or these guys who don't have to do anything.
The Hemsworthies.
The Hemsworthish.
Yeah.
Am
I Hemsworthy?
What's your approach? Because I always feel like, I always felt like I was, like, the dorky kid. I was the smallest kid in high school. I had, you know, I was dysfunctional. But, you know, I felt like I would somehow make them laugh. I feel like if I make you laugh, maybe I can get in that way.
Yeah, you know, I've always been, you know, some form of funny and charming. Mm-hmm. And like I said, and forward, I like you.
I like you? Like, would you say that right away? Like, I like you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, not like, oh, hey, like, have my baby.
No, of
like
course,
you.
No.
It's like, you know what I like? Look, I like you. But also, I'm an old-fashioned gentleman. I would ask you first, can I kiss you?
Really?
I always would say that. And I will say, like, at least, I'd say it's 50-50 split. Half the girls would find that incredibly charming, like very gentlemanly, like, oh, I'm holding the door for them. May I kiss you, etc. And the other half would laugh, roll their eyes and go, Jesus Christ, just kiss me already, would you? Like that kind of thing.
So you had no failures, it sounds like.
Oh, no. I mean, of course I have.
I thought the other half was going to be like, fuck you. You're like, no, the other half, just kiss me.
Yeah. Just shut the hell up and just kiss me already.
I actually had that. I was, I'm not a drug user majorly. I smoke a little pot.
It's legal in this state.
I take a little something for anxiety at times. But I was at Burning Man one time and I said, hell with it. I'm going to take some Molly Ringwalds while I'm there. And I'm mollied out. And I don't recommend doing this, but this girl and I locked eyes and, you know, she wouldn't stop staring at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to her finally and we're just both, you know, we're somewhere else. And she goes, your breath smells great.
Wow.
And I was chewing this watermelon Trident or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I go, would you like a piece? She goes, sure.
And
it was so intimate and so sexy.
Did you use the one that was already in your mouth?
No.
See, that's where I thought this was going.
Well, I thought it was too dried out. She'd be like, why did you give me that? It's already chewed.
I know, but that was an in.
Right. I should have, but I didn't. And it wouldn't have helped this situation. But I said, thanks. And I gave her a piece of gum and We just talked for a second. She was just looking right at me like this, almost like a vampire looks at its prey, like, you know, Fright Night, you know?
Yeah,
just like, and I go, finally go, I want to kiss you right now. And she goes, that's not going to happen.
Oh, wow.
And I go, what?
See, that's the thing is that you can't get too offended by that kind of stuff. Because
she stared at me and said, my breath's fresh.
I know. That's true. That's true, actually. I see where you're coming. Like, it seemed like that's what she was hinting at, but good thing you asked.
Yeah, or then it would have been worse.
Yeah, because then she would have like just turned her head away going like, no. Like, you know, that would have sucked. That would have sucked
it
more.
It sucked anyway. It was just like, you're...
I know. That would have sucked more.
It would have sucked more. But have you ever been turned down on a kiss?
Yeah, of course.
Did you feel bad?
You know what?
Did you feel shame?
I mean, probably like, yes, when I was like younger. But like, yeah, like as I hit my like late 20s, early 30s kind of thing. Like, no. I go like, cool. Like that could have gone so much worse.
Yeah, thanks for denying me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Thanks.
Rob, have you ever tried to kiss a girl and she rejected you?
I don't think, but it's not because it happened a ton of times.
You just weren't very forward, maybe.
You're a very passive, relaxed dude.
Yeah. But you know, you seem like a really polite kind. You know, you have a good soul. So you know, what is it?
I've been with my wife for 8 years, so I don't really remember. But
did you
mostly
take the initiative, or did she kiss you?
I think it was me.
I'm glad it was memorable.
I was just about to say,
first
memories.
Kiss with your wife. You don't remember what happened.
My current girlfriend, she actually said, are you going to come over here and kiss me or what? Like,
oh,
it was like
God.
That. You
instant
know, yeah.
Boner, right?
Well, you know, I just said, like, in general, I said, like, oh, like, yes. I said, I was planning on it. It just, there's other people here. But, like, sure, I'll just kiss you right now.
Do you still get boners from kissing, like a first kiss?
Yeah, sure, man.
You still get a boner?
No, there's nothing.
From all my first kisses?
There's nothing like kissing somebody.
For the first time.
Yeah, too. Like, that you find somebody that you want to kiss, and they want to kiss you back.
I mean,
isn't that, that's fucking, like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, when you like somebody and they like you back, like, that's... That's it. That's
have you ever
it
had
with a capital IT, man.
Have you ever had butterflies? Legitimate, like, oh my God, that tingling sensation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you?
Yeah, I have. It doesn't happen a lot, but when it happens, it's just
the
like...
The older you get, the less it happens.
What are you saying, man?
That you're old.
Is there anything I can say?
The hope is dying.
All right, so look, man, I don't want to be redundant, because you're the kind of guy that probably has been asked every question under the sun. Let's walk through this, because a lot of this show, we talk about people's anxieties, their fears, their depressions, their losing people in their life, and it just sometimes takes a turn and goes... And what I found is that the people listening really appreciate it, and they tweet me all the time saying it's helping me with my life and my anxiety or whatever they have.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's sort of like, you know, I don't want to ever step over boundaries, but I like to sort of like, I'm like looking at you going, hey, if anything, you're a success story in the fact that, in the sense that I can't imagine myself being a young boy growing up in Hollywood. I can't deal with it now. It's hard being around other celebrities sometimes. It's hard being always trying to fit in, always trying to be yourself. But imagine being young and not really, just getting into the wrong crowd too soon and not having the proper guidance. So I don't know even how you made it, because I would have jumped off a bridge when I was probably 12.
I wouldn't say I was like got caught up in like too many wrong crowds or anything like that. Like, if anything, I was pretty fortunate. I was relatively sheltered in a certain kind of way.
You mean with your family?
In general, like we never did like the LA kind of scene. I was always kind of a New York kind of kid and stuff. I was a bit insulated, you know, like, so like, yes, like there weren't a lot of just outsiders around. I come from a very large family, so it was always kind of like...
Where is Culkin? Is it Scottish?
No, it's Irish.
Irish.
Yeah, it's like Lowland Irish, you know, so like if I was Highland, I'd be Mick Culkin, you know, yeah.
Really?
But yeah. You know. I think we're from around Cork, but I'm not entirely sure. My mother would know.
Right.
My mother loves having 7 Irish children. She has no Irish in her at all, you know? Well, I mean, she did 7 times, but hey-o.
Only 7 times?
Oh, yeah. No, that's
all
it.
Lucky 7.
Yeah, it was all after her eggs drop. So it was like I was pretty isolated when I worked. Like, I'd show up to work, I'd do my work, I'd do my schooling, so forth. Once I was done, go back to the house, go over the next day's stuff, and then boom. It was,
but you weren't
it was
in a public school.
No, I was in a Catholic school. Yeah, I was raised a good Catholic boy.
Well, were they giving you shit in school at all? Like, oh, you're that guy, pick on you?
A little bit. There was some kind of prison rules a little bit, but at the same time, like, I could handle myself. You know, it's different, like, you know, yeah, it's different when you're an adult. It's like right now I'm 5'7", 140. That's not really much, you know. Yeah, but back then, like, you know, yeah, I, you know, it's kids are kids, like, right. You know, yeah. So like, yeah, I could, you know, I could fist fight, right. You know, things like
so
that.
So you fought.
A little bit, yeah. I was a little feisty.
Did you kick
back
some
then.
Ass?
I was pretty good, actually. I was pretty feisty.
Look, really? You had a temper?
Well, yeah, a little bit of a temper. Not super bad.
But that's like, when you were throwing consoles and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right, right. Yeah, it was. I threw some fisticuffs back in like in Catholic school. My little uniform and everything. Like, you know, yeah, it's exactly what you'd think it is.
Right. So you're isolated. You're staying isolated. You come back home from school. Your parents, were they getting along? Your parents?
No, not really. No, that was always very, very tricky. My father was a very, very, I'm going to be very kind. He was a complicated man.
What complicated him?
Oh, he was a mean bastard, you know. And
ultimately, right.
Yeah, look, he really shouldn't have been a father, to be honest.
How old was he when he had you? Or when he had his first kid?
When he had his first kid, I think he was about 28, something like that. Like 28, 29. And my mother is 10 years younger. So like she started having kids around like 18, 19. You know, yeah. So I am like 16 years older than my mom was when she had me right now.
Jeez.
You know, yeah. And all I have is a couple of cats to show for it, a cat and a dog, you know, yeah.
So was he not like a loving person? Was he not somebody like, Macaulay, I love you, I'm so proud of you.
No,
gave
no.
Gave you a hug. No, that didn't exist.
The word proud never came out.
I never heard
his lips.
My father say that either. I mean, I wouldn't call him a bastard or anything. I mean, he tried, but.
I do actually go out of my way to when it comes to like my loved ones and, you know, my brothers and things like that. When they do something really good or great or whatever, I go out of my way to say that I am proud of them. Because that's something that I never really heard.
That's such an important thing.
Yeah.
And I've talked about it. It's like, you know, especially in the developmental stages, you're coming home from school, hearing your dad give you, seeing your dad give you a hug. Do you think anything would have changed if you think, you know, the whole saying you're a product of your own environment, you think that holds true? I mean, obviously, right?
I mean, yeah, no, if things were different, then things would be different. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, yeah, it's like that.
I understand that.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's kind of what the question is. Like, if things were different being brought up, yes, I wouldn't be me. But here's the thing is that I love me, man. I think I'm freaking cool and awesome and all that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't want to change a thing, man. Like, I'm happy.
See, that's what's so important. And I don't know if I was able. I'm still doing that. I'm still going through the motions of like
every day
trying to love me. I mean, there's people on here that I've talked to that I feel like they don't love themselves or they have. Even Rob said he didn't. Really necessarily love himself. It's I'm sorry to throw you under the bus there, Rob.
Yeah, way to not love yourself, Rob. Tell us more.
Well, I just think that, you know,
I just always use my right hand. This is Stephanie right here. this one's called Jennifer.
That was mom was cool.
If life was a game of tag, she was home base. That's the whole thing.
If you didn't have her, you're fucked.
Yes, exactly. I mean, she offered us a lot of, like, love. There wasn't a lot of other, like, things that went with it. I mean, she's juggling seven children. I'm third of seven, so...
Third of seven?
Yeah.
Who was the bad one?
Who was the bad one?
Who was the bad seed who was always getting in trouble?
No, actually, we never had those, like, you know, like, oh, the one that kept on getting arrested or anything like that. Like, no, I mean... Everyone has their own troubles kind of thing. So I wouldn't say there was actually like, I don't think there's anyone I would file under that category. Like, you know, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so some are a little, you know, more this or less that kind of thing. But nobody I'd throw under the bus at least.
But when you say disciplinarian, it's like, was your dad like some guy who like, you know, my dad hit me every once in a while.
Oh yeah. No, I mean,
did you get hit?
I got the switch, you know, you know, I got the, you know, the belt. You
got the belt. Everybody sort of got the belt in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The spatula. I remember the spatula.
Ooh, that's got some whip to it.
Yeah, it got a little stank on it.
Was your mom always yelling in the background, stop it, stop it?
No. She'd do it too sometimes. Like,
she'd give you the old smack.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, old fashioned kind of thing.
Like, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they were, you know, my father was raised in the 50s. Like, you know, my mother, like, in, like, you know, the 60s. Like, yeah, it was still there. That was a part of it. Like,
right.
You know, corporal punishment. You know, yeah. I would never ever hit a kid, like, just generally. I right. philosophically against it. And, you know, being a product of that kind of upbringing, I go like, you know, I actually did get the point without it. Like,
yeah,
you
don't need to hit me now.
You didn't need to hit me.
What about school? Did they paddle you in Catholic school?
No. I got like, at least by the, you know, mid late 80s, like, we kind of already started moving away from that. I got ear pulled, you know, by a teacher and stuff like
ear.
That. Oh yeah, but that was the thing. I was like, she didn't have to do that. Like, she didn't. Like, you know, it was just like, yes, I was talking to my neighbor and she snuck up behind me. Like, you know, just like I almost like picture her like tiptoeing like a cartoon. Oh. And you're like, oh, and then boom, got pulled by the ear. Like,
I'll get you, Macaulay. What?
It's like, yes, okay,
clear.
I get it. I shouldn't have been doing that, but like, yeah.
Do you remember her name? I bet you do.
Miss Skiffington.
See, you remember the people who abuse you.
Oh, yes, you do.
I remember Mrs. Todd. I remember Mrs. Ebley.
Oh, you get the paddle?
I got the paddle from Mrs. Ebley. But I was like, how dare you? And she just ridiculed me in front of this whole classroom. And it was very difficult for me as a child.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I was also, like, I'm not going to say I was a perfect kid. I was always wanting attention. Kind of like I still do now. I'm always
that happens
I'm sort
to people
of
who
person.
Go into the performing arts. Like, I was the same way. I was...
Did you act out?
Yeah, I wasn't act out, but I was always good at, like, yeah, like, having attention. I was kind of a bit of a class clown, but also, like, I was always, like, just putting on freaking shows or skits or
things
like that.
What kind of skits would you do?
I don't remember. I just remember, like, gathering people around me and then
so
doing something. Like,
you're a leader. You
know, I guess I think I had a little bit, I was more aggressive of an alpha back then than, like, I am today.
Inside of You is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. This is an amazing platform. I use it on both podcasts. It has worked wonders for me. It's so amazing how easy it is to navigate. If you want to sell products, t-shirts, soap scents, whatever it is, Ryan, you want to sell, this is the way to do it. You could see what your best seller is right there, analytics, how much you're making this month, what products are selling the best. It's really fantastic. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify's there to help you grow.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way.
Because businesses that grow... grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/inside, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/inside now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/inside. Inside of You is brought to you by Netflix. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Friday, May 3rd, only on Netflix.
How do you fucking even think of getting into acting?
It started because my father like acted a little bit when he was a kid. And he also like danced ballet and things like that. So he had my older brother and sister kind of start like doing that kind of stuff, like getting some headshots and enrolling them in some ballet stuff, like the 90s.
And they wanted to do it.
I'm not even sure if they did. It was kind of just something. And I kind of said, like, I want to do what they're doing kind of thing. And the thing is that I instantly was good at those things. And I was instantly just adept at them, and I was instantly kind of booking gigs. I mean, within a month of going to, like, the 92nd Street Y to do some ballet, like, lessons, I was at the School of American Ballet, you know, which is the most prestigious one in the United States, one of the three best in the entire world. Like, my first audition, I booked, like, you know, when it comes to, like, acting kind of stuff. I was kind of just instantly adept at those kind of things.
And you loved it.
Yeah, I enjoyed doing it, yeah, like especially early on. Like, yeah, no, of course. Like, this is, like, it was easy. It was one of those things where, like, especially, like, ballet, which is, it's not an improv kind of dance. Like, you know, you do exactly what we tell you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So, like, great, I could do that. Like, you show me, I was good at mimicry. So, like, you show me what to do with my body, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I could do that. And I could just reproduce, like, yeah. So it was like, oh, like, when it came to acting, it's like, say this about the macaroni and cheese. I'm like, all right, cool. Boom. Like, you know,
so
I
you can
do
that. You have a good ear. You have good memory.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I used to especially. Like, whenever I lost my place on a script, I would just picture the script. Like, I would picture the page in my mind and then just start reading it. Like, I don't really have that photographic memory anymore. I mean, I'm getting older. You know, I've been drinking Coronas.
Well, don't worry, Coronas are gluten free. You're not going to get all that gluten in your brain.
Oh, thank God. I was worried about the gluten beer.
That's what blocks photographic memory too.
Yeah, is that what happens?
Gluten.
Do you think?
Of course, we all know that.
There's more of a freedom.
Common knowledge.
When you're a child, though, it's like you're fearless, right?
Yeah.
You feel like you don't think about that. When you get older, it's when it all happens.
Yeah, I was pretty invincible back then. Like nothing could really shake me.
Like, you could do anything. They could say, hey, I want you to sit there and I want you to scream like an idiot, and you can do it and not worry about, like, everybody laughing at you or thinking about you. You just did it.
Yeah, you know, exactly. It was, you know, like, because I think occasionally, like, some of the kids, like, in grade school or whatever, try to give me some shit, try to, like, tease me or whatever. And it's like, cool, I have a full-time job and I'm really good at this. Like, yeah, it was like, so, like, yeah, like, it didn't, like, affect me. Like, I would kind of just, like, cool, like, you know, like, you know what guys you wish. That was really what it was,
right?
Like, you know, and like, I wasn't like a jerk about it because they were being jerks to me, and
so
I went to Catholic school, so I turned the other cheek a good amount.
Well, was the rest of the family kind of jealous?
Because all of them in one form or another were kind of doing their things. Like, my brother Kieran was in Home Alone with me.
He
played the bedwetter, Fuller, things like that. And my oldest brother was doing Our Town on Broadway and stuff like that. Like, you know, they were all kind of like, we all kind of just got into the performing arts in one form or another.
And you guys were all tight?
We grew up in a one-bedroom apartment, you know, so it's like, jeez. You know, like, yeah, so there's 9 of us in a one-bedroom apartment, 2 parents and 7 kids.
Who was farting?
Oh, gosh. You know, yeah.
Who was the one who was farting?
You know, we've actually never really been a gassy family, but yeah. No.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, we weren't.
Oh,
so
my
bad.
God. My family, don't go near the Rosenbaums.
Yeah, I know. Well, I heard, you know, yes, we actually.
Oh, wait.
I just listened to our podcast from camp, man.
Yeah, I did your podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And like, yeah, you farted right into the microphone, and then nobody wanted to use that microphone because, like, you farted into it and then just left. And it's like,
I had a shower after that fart.
Yeah, believe me, I know, because you came in wearing just nothing but a towel over your junk, and that's it. Like, your ass was hanging out.
Well,
I can still see it. I was listening to it last night. I was like, and I can still see it.
Did you have a laugh? Did you have a chuckle?
Oh, fuck yeah. You kidding me? I love that kind of shit.
Oh, like, good. I didn't know if I offended you.
No. I mean, I'm a dainty motherfucker, but like, no, I mean, I think it's great. Like, yeah, I'm just glad I didn't have to use that microphone after you got done with it.
I'm going to say something that might surprise you. You may not believe me, but my farts rarely smell.
Well, yeah, you're kind of just...
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's more air than methane.
Ask
or whatever.
Any of my friends. I went to a colonoscopist. I don't think that's the title. I don't think
you got a colonoscopy.
Whatever. I went to him and I said, "Look, man, I fart a lot." He goes, "Okay."
Gastroenterologist.
And I said, "I fart a lot." He goes, "Yeah, all right." I go, "Yeah, I mean, more than any of my friends. My friends are like, you fart more than anybody knows." Okay. I go, "That's not anything to worry about." He goes, "No."
No, you just have a loose colon?
Well, then I go, and they don't smell. I
flappy anus.
You.
It's a flappy anus. Yeah.
So shouldn't I get on colonoscopy now? He's like, well, not for that. I mean, do you have any pains? Yeah, you're bloated constantly. I'm like, well.
Yeah, no, I had one of those recently.
Colonoscopy?
Yeah, yeah. I also got scoped down my throat, too.
Why?
I don't have an ulcer. That's good news. Bad news is I have 2 ulcers. So
You have 2 ulcers?
I do, brother.
What does an ulcer feel like?
Sometimes it'll flare up a little bit. It's like, honestly, for me, it's like very heartburny, like that kind of thing. Like, you know, like kind of almost like acid reflux.
Yeah, I get that every once in a while when I have like spaghetti or eat late at night.
I just started getting it a lot.
Uncomfortable, discomfort.
Yes, exactly. Like not like pain or whatever. And it's, yeah, I just had to kind of curb certain things in my lifestyle.
You didn't have any polyps?
In my butt, yeah.
You had some polyps.
Yeah, you know, but it's also apparently that's a family trait as well.
Polyps and the McCulkin, in the McCulkins,
you know, yeah.
McCulkin. Polyps and the Culkins.
Yeah, yeah. So
that should be like an Irish slang. Polyps and the Culkins.
Polyps and the Culkins. That's the name of my next album. Polyps and the Culkins.
Polyps and the Culkins.
Polyps and the Culks. Polyps and the Culks.
Right, that should be a song.
I like the girls with the polyps and the Culks.
Polyps and the Culks. Polyps and the Culks. That's so stupid.
I think we found it. We found it.
Hey, I think you're enjoying my candy corn.
I know. No, that's not candy corn,
dude.
Those
are Reese's Pieces.
Those are Reese's Pieces, man.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I put candy corn in there.
No, well, they have the same color scheme.
I'm colorblind.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
So it's like the green-red kind of thing?
Yep, red, green, blue, green. I just can't differentiate a lot of colors.
Well, those are different shapes.
I was just about to say this is not a colorblind thing. This is a shape thing.
Let me see them.
Those are round.
They're round. They look like M&Ms.
Not cones.
Yeah, right, well,
we don't have to have a battle here.
He's shape blind also. Yeah,
she's Louise.
I know. So what color is
think that's I know it's blue because it's my couch.
It's kind of blue. Yeah,
Polyps in the coke.
Yes, listen, we all have our issues, and yeah, I'm not making funny. I'm more interested.
No.
Yeah.
So where were we? We're talking about some good stuff here.
Polyps.
Yeah, you had a colonoscopy. So you're all good though. They removed polyps. They found out you have two ulcers.
I'm good.
They put you on some medication. You're fine.
Yes, exactly.
You're not leaving us anytime soon.
No,
so
I'm,
they didn't
no,
find
I'm,
anything
I'm,
bad.
I'm good. And like, yeah, my lady, she's, you know, she makes sure I'm always good. Like, and yeah, she. If she has, she's worried about even just this much about something, like next thing you know, it's not the end of the world, but she makes me do something about it kind of thing. Okay.
Right.
So like, I've never gone to the doctor as much in my life as I have in like the
last
year.
You get physicals now every year?
Yeah. Like doing that kind of stuff.
Do you get the
finger up the butt?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm at that age, man.
I've never had that.
I feel it for the rest of the day. I do.
I've never had that. Well, one time I had that, but my doctor of 20 years,
getting
I always ask him.
Checked,
the other day I said, why don't you ever put your finger in my butt? I swear to God, Dr. Unger. And he goes,
it's your girlfriend's job.
Yeah.
Do you want me to?
And like, yeah, you got on all fours and go, like, oh, come on.
Well, I go, I'm 46. He goes, but look, Michael, I take the blood test. Your blood, the PSA levels are fine. If they were abnormal, I'd stick my finger in there, but they're not abnormal.
Cool. Yeah, I've had twice in my adult life. And like I said, you do feel it for the rest of the day. At my age, like, it's about time.
Yeah, so you're 38. You're fine. You're...
Oh, yeah, exactly. But you know, you're just supposed to do it every once in a while. So like, yeah, hey, kids out there, get a healthy finger up your butt every once in a while. Listen to your doctor. Don't be like Rosenbaum over here.
So let's backtrack here.
Uh-huh.
So what was the first big thing? The first big thing was kind of like an Uncle Buck, right? Was that the kind of thing that took you off, right?
Yeah. Did you
audition with John Candy for that?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I ended up... I don't really remember it that much. I mean, I remember him and John Hughes was in the room and the casting director, Billy Hawkins, shout out.
What was the girl's name, the sister?
The one that was Gabby Hoffman was the younger sister.
And
then you had Jean Kelly.
Right.
What's her name?
Yes, she. I just did a movie with her.
Really?
Called The Neighbor. She was lovely.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
She was a lot older than you, though, probably. Right? Well, she's only like 45.
Well, something. I was like 8, and she was probably like 16. So,
oh,
like, yeah,
okay. It wasn't that bad.
It's a huge difference at that age. Like, now it's like, yeah, like, you know.
But what do you remember about meeting John Candy?
Well, apparently, at some point, I ended up sliding between his legs during the audition.
What made you slide between
John Candy's
legs? I don't
know. I was the kind of kid who would, like, get up and stand up on the table and do my stuff, or like, yeah, let's just like, oh, this is John Candy. Yeah, I really don't care. Like, I just boom.
Do you think John Candy was like, Jesus, no, this guy's too much. This kid's
No. It was instantly, yes, this kid. Like, this, like, yeah, like they were looking for a punk. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like some kid who was not intimidated by any of this kind of stuff and one that was like willing to kind of just be a jerk about things.
And you own the room.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was never intimidated by that kind
of
stuff.
So, what did they say for you to do? What did they say? Hey,
just do the scene or whatever. And then, like, John Candy would start playing around, and so I'd start playing around back. And it was one of those things where I was never, like, impressed by, like, celebrities kind of thing.
You're too young to really understand that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, there's certain times where, like, no, let's say you, like, you know, you're a kid and, like, you know, like, you see, like, Bruce Springsteen. Like, oh, I recognize him from, like, you know, MTV and this and that. And then you meet him. You're like, oh, my God, you're the TV guy. You're the guy who sings the songs. Like, you know, like, and it does... You think you're going to act a certain way when you meet a celebrity. Like, you think you're going to be cool. You think you're going to be this or that. Like, you know, and, like, normally people freaking, like, freeze up and stuff like that. And it goes doubly so for kids. Yeah, no, for me, like, I was never intimidated by anybody.
Your parents probably had to be excited about meeting John Candy.
Well, no, they were in the room. I was working. I'm at work.
I mean, when you get the part, when you get the part, your dad or your mother's on set.
Yes. You know, I never really asked them. Like, honestly, I did just do my work.
They never said, hey. I want to meet Candy. Bring him over.
No.
They never were into that. They just sat back and just chilled out.
Yeah, you don't ask the 8-year-old to do the introductions. Like, you know, yeah, like
some people do that.
I know. Well, you know, at least I guess they had enough sense not to. You know,
yeah, right.
And I did my work, and I was, like I said, like, you tell me what to do, I can do it. And they're like, oh, be more this or that. I'm like, yeah, cool. I could turn it up to 11 if you wanted me to. If you wanted to turn it down to a 2 or whatever.
And that was John Hughes.
That was John Hughes. Yeah, and. So there's that scene in Uncle Buck where he's having his girlfriend watch the kids, you know, but Shanice, and it's before she came over. And then I have to, like, look through, like, the mail slot and, like, oh, can I please see your ID? Can you please take it out of there? And I'm sitting there, like, on a chair, like, you know, that's what gave John Hughes the idea for Home Alone, was that scene. He saw a little kid protecting the house. So he wrote it specifically with me in mind. But he wasn't directing or anything like that. So he gave it to Chris Columbus and said, this is the kid you should hire. I met with him. He
Did he not like you at first?
I'm not sure if he liked me at first because I hated freaking like meetings like that, and it was one of those things where he was like talking with my father the whole time. This is a lunch meeting kind of.
And you were bored out of your ass.
So I started just doing everything he did. So every time he like grabbed the glass with his right hand and took a drink, I would do the exact same thing. And after half an hour, he noticed what I was doing. And then he's like, haha, okay, that's cute. And then it became less and less cute because I just did it the entire freaking time because I was just so like bored. And he was just like, I think it was a relative turnoff. I'm not sure.
You thought, no way I'm getting this bored. You didn't think that, but your dad probably thought that.
I really didn't care. I know he even told me, he's like, you're being annoying. I'm like, all right. But then he went around, he auditioned everybody else, and then he brought me into like the final callbacks.
Bring that kid.
And then like, yeah, next thing you know, like, you know, I killed it. You know, like, yeah, that was like, there was a reason why John Hughes was telling you to come to me. Like,
was there
anything
in that audition that you remember that you did that was like, that sealed the deal?
Oh, no, we were carnies, man. Like, no, like, here's what we did. So what they really want to care about, like with children, child actors, is they care if you remember your lines. You know, you don't want to work with, like, you know, children and animals, like, you know, because they're hard to control. And they, you know, so they wanted to make sure I knew all of my lines. So what they did was do scene two and scene four. So they'd send it over and all that stuff. My father would go through the entire script, find the two scenes with the longest speeches in it. And then I go into the room and they'd say, okay, do scene two, then scene four. I go, I memorized scene 27 and scene 53. They're like, just do what you know, kid. So I like rip off like scene 23 and it's like, you know, a page and a half long, you know, soliloquy practically. And it, you know, and then it's doing two things. One, it's showing them I know how to memorize all this shit, you know, yeah. And also two, fuck, you tricked us. When you said, oh, I memorized something else, we felt bad for you. and like they would see what the trick was and they're like, all right, cool. Like, so that's what I did on that first Home Alone, and then didn't have to audition for a long, long time after that.
And that was one of your last auditions for,
yeah, until
for
I was
years?
Until I was an adult. Like, yeah, yeah.
That's just amazing, because auditioning, people don't understand out there.
It sucks. I hate it.
It's the worst.
I'm
I get more anxiety than anything. It's like you're selling yourself. And there's also that thought in your head as an adult that somebody else has already got an offer for this, or somebody else is going to get it. Go ahead. Those guys are better looking than me. Oh, this is it's hard to really focus, get it in, and really put the work in, because you know you're probably not going to.
It's funny, because acting is about faking it. And for some reason, auditions, like, I always feel like I'm faking it. Like, it's like, yeah, like,
it, like you don't care almost.
Yeah. It's like, this is not real. And like, you know, there's a certain skill to audition. Like, there's a way you audition is a way you act, you know, like, yeah. And it's like, cause I know people who are really good at auditioning, but they're not like, you know, great actors kind of thing. Like, yeah, they know how to, there's a certain way that you have to go about, like, approach those kind of things. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of that chess game, you know, like, so.
Will you audition right now?
Yeah. I mean, I'll go in for like things every once in a while, but like in general, no. I mean, I've done it once in the last 8 years.
What was
it? It was for Tarantino, like, kind of thing, which I wasn't right for and stuff like that. But like, listen, like, if someone like that come, you know, I approach it for about something like that, or someone like, from like Wes Anderson or somebody like that, I go, yeah, I'll go in for something like that.
Tarantino audition you? You met with him?
No, I didn't. It was, it was...
His people.
It was the peoples.
It was the peoples. Right.
But acting is not something I pursue. Like, I like it. I think I'm relatively good at it. Things like that. But, like, it's... I don't like the circuit. I don't like the scene. Like, you know, yeah, I'm not going to go back on the circuit and start, like, auditioning for, like, you know, just... There's nothing you can do to make me excited about pilot season. There's just nothing you can do.
Right. Yeah. it's like, you don't want to just be on some random show.
No, exactly. Like, no, like, listen, I'm secure. I'm happy. Like, exactly. Yeah, like, yeah, it's like, I only do things I want to do, and I'm not feeling left out from anything.
I think that's the misconception.
I make my own stuff.
You know? I think that's the misconception about with a lot of actors. It's like, you know, for the most part, like, Smallville was the biggest thing that I did.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, that's the biggest show I did. And I think people think, well, what are you doing now? What's going on now? You have to always be working.
What are you doing next?
And you get to a point where you're just like, I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to be happy like everybody else. And
exactly.
Doing the, you know, what happened to that guy?
It's like,
that's always the question. It's like, actually, nothing.
Actually, yeah, I got some beautiful dogs and a beautiful house, and like, yeah, like I'm doing my thing. Like,
actually,
you know,
everything good happened to him.
Yeah, like, no shit.
You know,
I mean, yeah, no, it's because it's you know, it's the worst question you ever ask an actor is, what are you doing next?
I know,
because it makes them feel insecure. Because unless they kind of say, I am doing the blankety blank, like they'll ask you that after you win an Oscar. You win an Oscar.
What's next?
And boom, you're standing up there and like you're doing that stupid fucking press room afterward. And they're asking you, so what's next for you?
Can I just enjoy the moment?
You know, I just won a fucking Oscar. Like, just like, give me a fucking second, would you?
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's a certain amount of like, they try to feed into a certain amount of insecurities that are kind of innate to this line of work, being an actor kind of thing, that I don't appreciate. Like, I do find that kind of stuff. It's not the kind of line of work that I really want to be a part of, or at least that I'm pursuing. Like, I'm willing to do some gigs, like, every once in a while and those kind of things. Yeah. But, like, that's to be right and things like that. Like, yeah, like, listen, I've made my name. I've made my fortune. Like, I don't, you know, like, I don't know what else. I have nothing to prove to nothing and nobody. Like, no, I just do the stuff I want to do, man.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Because the worst thing is if you actually respond to that question and then you feel like a complete dickhead doing
I never had any problem always saying, like, nothing, man. I don't know. Like,
I think that's the way to do it. What are you up to, man? Absolutely
nothing, shit. Nothing, man. Like, you know, I just adopted a cat, man. It's awesome.
I just, you
know,
flew to Denver to
adopt
that cat,
freaking
right?
Denver yesterday. Jesus Christ.
To adopt a cat.
To adopt
Good
a cat.
For you. What's the cat's name?
Okay, we haven't landed on it because it's only been like 25 hours at this point. I'm leaning towards Dude.
Dude.
Dude. Like, hey, dude, like, hey, little dude, like, you know, like, hey, like, oh, look at my big dude. Like, dude, get down. Dude, get off of there. I pitched Cheese. I don't know, for some reason.
My God.
I was like, what's up?
My ex-girlfriend named her cat Cheeseburger.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to call him Cheese.
Cheese.
1, 2, 3, stick it in my cheese.
Oh, Cheese. You have an animal, Rob?
Yeah, you know, I have a little dog.
I know. What's his name?
Huxley.
Huxley.
Right. I like that. That's a good name.
Except for Aldous Huxley.
What's your kid's name?
Calvin. Calvin Harold.
Okay.
Calvin Harold?
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Hobbs.
Yeah. Calvin Hobbs.
You wanted it? were you Calvin Hobbs fan?
Yeah, I was.
Because whenever I hear Calvin, I hear that.
The comics.
It's a comic.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch comics. I didn't read comics.
I was going to say, you didn't watch them.
I didn't read them.
It's a book.
I was a horror movie fan.
Well, we talked about this on my podcast.
Yeah, big horror movie.
Yeah, fan. By the way, every Wednesday.
Bunny Ears. Dude, Bunny Ears is amazing. It's a lot of fun. You guys just kind of go off, just do what you want. That's what I like. It's free fall.
When do you guys air your stuff?
We're every Tuesday, right, Rob?
Yep, Tuesdays.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. When is this going to go up? It's like, how long is your turnaround? How far ahead do you
You know, we've
record?
Got a lot of guests ahead, but
we're into like January.
We
right
mix
now.
And match.
Nice.
But,
all right, go.
Yeah, we're, we got, yeah.
Yeah, we've done the same kind of thing. I mean, probably by the time this airs, because we're retooling a little bit. Like, actually, Matt's going to go off and do his own thing. I'm going to go off and do my own thing. Yeah. It's, you know, it's like a band going off and doing their
Are
solo
you gonna
albums.
Are you alone now?
Yeah, but I'm going to also mix it up a little bit. I'm just play with the format. Certain sensibilities, we kind of just, like, yeah, like, I think he has a little bit more of a formal kind of thing. I kind of want to be a little looser with it.
And right.
Like I said, it's like a band. Like, it's like, cool, let's do our solo albums, man. Like, all right. That doesn't preclude us from, like, getting back together and, like, you know, doing that tribute concert, you know?
That's
like,
true. Yeah. It's very true.
So that's kind of what we're doing in a little bit. Yeah, it's not messy. Like, no, we're still friends and we're still working together. Just like, yeah, no, you do your thing. I'd go, you know, you go do you. I
There's
go,
nothing
go
wrong
do
with
me.
That.
You know, yeah.
So did you have any problem with, like, saying fuck it, like, you know, after, because you did a lot of good, My Girl, Good Son was creepy as shit. You were,
oh, nice.
You were creepy.
Well,
I'd love to see you play, like, I mean, look, you did Party Monster, which you were dark and fucked up and weird, and that was really cool. It's like, I think when you want to do something, you really go for it.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed. You really go for it.
Yeah, no, if I'm, like, if I'm in, I'm in. And, like, yeah, here are the two things I'm good at. I'm actually kind of good at being, like, charming, I guess, is for lack of a better word, kind of being outward and charming. I can do that, and I can be creepy. You know, don't ask me to be the quarterback on, like, you know, your football team.
But you
could
be the Joker.
Football team.
You could be the Riddler.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be, you know, what's the movie that Suicide Squad-ish?
Yeah, exactly.
You could do roles like that. I think you could do stuff like that.
I can go far creepy, and I can do, like, really, like, silly, and, you know, like, yeah, kind of like, yeah, when I did a Seth's movie, Changeland.
It's Seth's movie.
Yeah.
I want to see that. When is it?
I don't know. I mean, I think they have some foreign distribution. I think they're kind of going international and then working their way to the States, because I think I'm not sure if they were necessarily happy with all the offers they got for the domestic kind of stuff. But
Changeland.
Whatever. Changeland. I always call it Changeland.
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 Because it kind of bugs him when I do that. So I'm like, now I have to.
It's Changeland.
But yes, no, I got to be like a you know, just a drunken boat captain. And like, yeah, it's a perfect. Like, you know, I can
really?
I could do that.
Do
That's
you drink
great.
When you work ever?
Yeah.
You do?
I have. Oh, no, I have. I did it on that one, and I think I pushed it a little too far.
Were they upset? They say, hey.
No. At one point, it was kind of like, hey. Like, I was like, I get it. Like, listen, I know I'm not a method actor, but at the same time, you're asking for a drunken boat captain.
I'm trying.
And like, yeah, they said, like, yeah, no, honestly, Cool. I'll keep the flask at home. I dig
How drunk were you?
I think I had
won the Coke.
I had. Well, that's different. I mean, my scale's different than normal people's scales.
Can you hold your liquor?
Yes, yes. I think that you know almost explains the ulcers. Like, you know, it's like I can do a whole bottle of whiskey by myself. Looking
a whole fifth of whiskey in a day.
Yeah, I could do that.
And you'd be drunk though.
I mean, yeah, no, I'd be good and proper. Like, yeah, no, it's not like, listen, I don't drink, like, I'm not one of those people who drinks to make the shakes go away. Like, yes, I'm not that much of an alcoholic.
Right. Like, oh, so you are an alcoholic.
No.
You said that, not that much of an alcoholic.
What? Oh, not that much. Yeah, I got it. See,
I got
see.
What you're saying.
I see what you're doing. You're twisting my words.
I'm not. And I
like it. Where's my beer?
No. But you were hammered, though, on the.
Well, no, I mean, I had like a day or so where I was like, oh, yeah, no, I could see it. That was like, yeah. Being a little sloppy, and I know that's kind of what they were going
for. Did they keep some of it though?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because that's kind of like, yeah, and like I said, like I'm not a method kind of person, you know. But at the same time, I was kind of like, well, yeah, like if you want me to be drunk, like yes, this is great. It's a great gig. I get to be drunk at work, kind of thing. And they're like, yeah, a little much. I was like, dig it, you know. And then boom, like there's no twisting my arm. I'm kind of like, yeah, you're right. Like I shouldn't, you know.
Did Seth come up to you?
Yeah.
Seth and he's like, hey, dude.
Yeah, you know. Just like, yeah, chillax.
So what happened? You drank water the rest of the day?
Coca-Cola, but yeah.
Were you exhausted the next day after that?
After all the cola?
After the drinking? Yeah, you know, I think, well, there was one day where I had, like, one line where I got stoned, and I think there was another day where I drank a little bit years ago where I had, like, you know, three lines, and, you know, nobody really knew. But if I had a lot of stuff or anything, I would never, I couldn't. Yeah. I think I'd freak out, but you didn't
get that. That was an exception. You know what I mean? You're supposed
to be drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's hard to play a real drunk.
That's what I kind of was going for, you know. And you know, so like I said, it wasn't like an ongoing thing. It really kind of was just like a thing that happened like once, essentially. Right. But when I did save, there was one night we were working nights, and like yeah, like I made sure I brought like a 12-pack for the cast, like you know. And then, but you're also talking like you know a beer or two, like when you're 22, like that's fine. Like you know, I had a glass of wine when I was doing theater in London. Like I was like, yeah, I had a glass of like two glasses of wine before a show. But I never like would drink before like anything. This like most recent one was an exception kind of thing. Like right. And I was going for it. And like I said, I think a little too much wind for it, but at the same time, you know, I do like what I was doing. Like, I like the final result and so forth, and I think he does too. There was method to my madness.
Why didn't you let me drink more?
Yeah, no shit. But at the same time, like you know, at the same time, there was a certain amount of feeling ashamed of myself, kind of going, oh man, like you know, I'm an old school professional, and like I should have been better about that kind of thing, and I should know, you know, like yeah. So there was a little bit of that,
right. So you're a big wrestling fan?
Yeah, big. Yeah,
I saw some stuff. You like threw some balls out, a la Kevin McAllister on the ring.
Oh yeah, that was a place called Bar Wrestling, and it's like you know
you really show up to these things.
Yeah, you know, I showed up houses. And they wanted to like do something, so I said, yeah, sure. It was last Christmas season, so I was like, yeah, cool. And so we came up with a spot where like you know. The evil tag team, because they're fighting a guy dressed as Santa and stuff like that. Like, and so like I rolled some balls in the ring and they slip over and then I threw a paint can in one of their faces.
And one guy threw you?
Yeah, he because that was not planned. I was like
did
sitting on the second row. No. But at the same time, like he was like, I'm going to launch you. Yeah, okay.
You love it. I love it.
And boom, he threw it. And so I did a half star frog splash. It was great. You know, yeah. And yeah, it was good. It was good. So, and then also like I did a... they have like a thing like Radio Row at WrestleMania. It's like media day the day before. So I did that. And so got to interview like these names won't mean anything to you, but like AJ Styles and Braun Strowman and Paul Heyman, shit like that.
Heroes to you.
Well, just like, oh, I mean, they're proper names in the business. And so I thumb wrestled all of them. Look at me, and things like that. So I have a video online on YouTube me doing thumb.
You lost, right?
Oh yeah, no, I did the job on all of them. Like yes, I lost to everybody. I just did it again at the All In. It was this like kind of indie show in Chicago, but it was a big old one. So I went backstage and like all these like old school guys, like you never really watched though, like in the '80s, like Brother Love.
Bro, he's my favorite.
Yeah.
He used to say. Hulk Hogan, I love you, yep. But that don't mean I like you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So thumb wrestled him, looking at things like
brother
that.
Love.
Like, and a whole
I have
bunch
an autograph
guys.
Picture from him.
You do.
I saw Jim Duggan up there, upstairs, and
nice.
And worked with Rowdy Roddy.
Yeah, and Bruce Pritchard. Like, yeah, that's his real name.
Rowdy
yeah.
Roddy Piper showed me the sleeper hole. I got to put him to sleep.
Okay, tell me this. Yeah, have you told the story on the podcast before?
What?
This Roddy Piper one.
No, I was doing this movie called Kicking It Old School.
Yeah, because I know you told it to me at camp, and I want to hear it.
Yeah, well, you know, I was doing this movie, Kicking It Old School. It didn't do very well. In fact, one of the guys on the movie goes, I love Jamie. I think he's a genius. But Jamie Kennedy, he goes, I don't know if I'm going to do another Jamie Kennedy movie, Kidding Around. And the guy goes, I don't think Jamie Kennedy's doing another Jamie Kennedy movie.
Ooh, burn.
I know. What a burn. Yeah, But Roddy Piper showed up on set. And we started talking. He was just the most lovable dude. I cried when he died. He was sick.
Yeah, no, he was good people.
And he got cut out of the movie, and they didn't even tell me. Showed up to the premiere, and I think that's just low class.
That's low class.
But he goes, the sleeper hold, man, is that real? He goes, come here, buddy.
Let me show you.
And he goes, come here, I'm not going to hurt you. I'll show you how to do it. And he put his arms around me, and it's a blood choke. And I fell asleep. He goes, now you can do it to Rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my arms in the right place, mm-hmm. and he goes, Squeeze, listen, I'm gonna fall, so don't let me fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I squeezed, and I just felt like his whole body just,
yeah,
like, oh, I'm like, there you do. You put Rowdy to sleep.
There you go.
It was awesome.
Because it's not about the windpipe, it's about the blood, like the blood flow. It's a blood choke, you know, and like, it can happen in less than 5 seconds. Looking, pop. So you know how to do a blood choke. Hey, let's do that right now. Let's do trust.
Rob, come here.
Hey, guys, let's play trust fall.
Jesus. You know, so look, you've had an awesome career. We've talked about all that. I mean, the highs, the lows, the this and that. When the lows as bad as people thought they were?
No.
There was no heroin.
Yeah, never did heroin in my life.
That's all bullshit, right?
Yeah, no, honestly, one of the reasons why I never did it is because I thought I'd really like it.
Of course. Yeah, so, if you do heroin, you're probably going to like it.
Probably going to like this, man. Like, you know, yeah. So, never did that. I haven't always treated myself, like, you know, properly and all that kind of stuff. But,
you like to dabble.
Yes. And I used to dabble, like, you know, kind of more. Like, I like to kind of taste everything to a certain extent.
Right.
But, you know, there's certain times where, like, I didn't love myself. Like, a lot of it was like,
what was causing
I hit a point where, you know, what's worse than depression? Like, you know, when you wake up sad.
Nothing.
It's when you feel nothing, right? So that was the thing, is that I had that. Like, I had no appetite. I love fucking eating, man. Like, you know, and it's like, next thing, the food that I love didn't even taste good anymore.
You just
wanted
to sleep all the time?
Yeah, fucking sleeping all the fucking time. I spent I'd spend like 12 hours a day in my bathtub. You know, like that kind of thing.
I sleep.
Yeah. I've gone through that kind of stuff. So, like, I'm not living right. I'm not being active. I'm not really fucking eating.
Do you exercise now?
I used to, and I kind of just, like, I fell off of it because I caught a worm when I was in Thailand. And so I was like, and honestly, it's only like recently I've started to kind of feel like normal, but it was like, it was like a whole year. Even after I got rid of that sucker, like, it took my body a little while to actually, like, and my stomach to kind of get used to, like, being normal. And I'm telling you, the last like month where I've actually started kind of like shitting properly and feeling normal. So I'm about to kind of get back on the trolley a little bit. Right. I mean,
you're getting near 40 now.
Yeah. I can't wait polyps in the cult. I can't wait till I'm going to start feeling sore, you know? Yeah. Again,
so when you did, like, when you got busted for pot, which is not a big deal, it's pot and a bunch of Xanax and a bunch of this and that. Was it really that much stuff?
No, I mean, look, I got an ounce of pot and I had a handful of
Xanners.
It was like Xanax or like Klonopin or something like that. Right. I didn't even know what the fuck they were. Like, it was literally like a friend of mine was like, I don't want these anymore. You want them? And I was like, yeah,
okay. It wasn't even a lot of stuff. You got arrested. Nowadays, you wouldn't even get arrested for that shit.
And it was also a slow news day, too. So it was perfect, you know? Actually, funny enough, Eddie Furlong got arrested the exact same day for overturning a lobster tank. And he was trying to free the lobsters from a supermarket. Boy. And I'm like, so it's like, he was really lucky that he got arrested the same day as me. Because, again, nobody talks about that.
Nobody cared about the lobster.
Nobody cared about the
lobster. But was jail shitty? You went to jail for a night?
No, not even. No.
You really didn't go to jail or anything?
No. Listen, they counted how much like cash we had on us, because me and my buddy, like, to the dollar. And like, that's what bail was set at, kind of thing. Like, you know, yeah. So, no, it really was a bit of a shakedown kind of thing. And, like, we were stupid enough to have something in the car.
Did it scare you? Did it make you change your way? Or did you, like...
No, I went, lame. Like, that's really what... Like, I kind of just, like... It was kind of just like, oh, this is lame. Like, you know, just like... Because I had never gotten arrested before or anything like that. I knew it was going to be all over the fucking place. So it was kind of just like... Yeah, gotcha. Like, you know, I wasn't crying over it, and I wasn't panicking.
Well, does your mom call you up? Does she worry about you? Does she say what happened? Are you guys tight still?
Yeah, no, we're good. Look, you know, yeah, look,
you talk.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, hey, Ma, I gotta call you back. Sorry, she called me last night. I was sleeping. I haven't called her back yet.
Wait, well, this airs in 3 weeks. It's gonna be more than that. Yeah,
I know. Mom. But still, honestly, it'll probably be the exact same situation. Like, you know, I'm kind of like, hi, Mom, sorry.
I kind of talk to my mom here and there. Yeah, it's just like, you do what you want to do.
Yeah, you know. I think I have some siblings that like talk to her every single day.
But no,
like,
dad. You don't talk to dad.
No, I haven't talked to him since I was like, it's probably been about 23 years, something like
and
that.
And you don't even miss him at this point.
No. It's the way it's supposed to be.
That's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, Does he ever try to reach out to you?
Not really, no. I think he tried like about 20 years ago, 18 years ago, something like that. And, look, it's the way it's supposed to be. Like, you know, I'm pleased with the results.
Is it just you or your siblings too?
I think everyone, like, I haven't really gone into it too much with like a lot of them. For them, it's kind of just like, listen, if you choose to have a relationship with your father, like that's totally fine with me. Like just because I have my like kind of hangups or like, you know, like I don't do that. Like, you know, it's not a matter of whether or not I agree or disagree with what you're deciding to do with your life. You know,
right.
and what you're doing with your family members.
Right.
Just like, yeah, no, like, you know, God bless everybody kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, yeah, so like, if that's what you want, like, you know, you do need to figure it out with your dad. Like, cool, you figure it out with your dad. Like, in the meantime, like, I'm cool.
Good.
Like, I have peace with the situation, you know.
See, that's healthy. You are healthy in a lot of ways.
I try to be, man.
Like, I mean, do you get anxiety? Do you get, like, you have fears? Do you get depression still? Bouts of that? Do you deal
not
with
really.
That shit? Do you go
no,
to therapy?
No. And, like, no real depression or anything like that. Sometimes I will, like, in, like, because I used to have a bit of agoraphobia, like, literally a fear of going outside.
Fear of people.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, you know, it can be really tricky, you know, especially when you're teenage Macaulay Culkin is a little fucking tricky, you know?
Yeah.
So when you still haven't figured all this kind of shit out and everything like that. So, you know, I still get it sometimes in large kind of groups. Even at freaking like camp, there was a certain kind of like, all right, a couple people are trying to be friend, like a little too friendly
too
with me. Like, yeah, exactly.
Clingy.
Yeah. Kind of just like, yeah, like this isn't natural.
Yeah. We went to a summer camp, Macaulay and I. Camp No Counselors. And we had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Macaulay did his podcast there and he did some fun things. What did you mostly enjoy about camp?
I mean, I loved doing the relay stuff. That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, yeah. I did four legs of it, man. I was fucking exhausted. Like, you know, yeah, yeah. Like,
right?
So, yeah, we did the people carry. I did the basketball thing. I did the human pyramid and then the slip and slide, like flip, you know, so that's four events.
But you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, no, I had a good time. I was sore as shit. Like, you know, like I was actually.
Well, it was
like,
your first exercise. You don't say
yeah,
you exercise.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, my entire right side just seized up. Like, yeah, like that was, you saw me the next morning. You were just like, wow. Like, yeah, I'm going home. I'm done. I'm not even staying for breakfast.
Girlfriend's driving.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm hunched over. It hurts to breathe. Okay. Like, but it was good stuff. It was good stuff. No, I had a good time with that. Whenever it was a safe kind of environment or like what I perceived of as kind of like safe or people that like I knew or liked, like, yeah, that stuff was great. Like, so, yeah. So sometimes strangers get to me, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, yeah.
Do you do anything about it other than just walk away?
I usually just disconnect from that kind of thing. And like,
how do you do that?
I can feel it coming for the most part. And so it's like, yeah, like, no, it's time for me to, you know, I'm going to excuse myself. You know, it's like, oh, I need to, you know, I have to
you
get.
You just get a little uncomfortable.
I need to charge my phone. I need to go to the bathroom. Like, you know, whatever. Like, you know, I just excuse, you know, I'm just.
You act your way out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I try to do the, I'm the king of Irish goodbyes. You know, yeah. Just like, you just don't say goodbye. You just leave.
There goes Macaulay.
Yeah, there you go. Like, oh, it looks like we'll never see him again. Never seen or heard from again. Like all the guest cast from Saved by the Bell. It was like, yeah. Everyone's like, oh, Jesse's brother, never seen or heard from again. Like you click on any of those articles, they all end with never seen or heard from again.
What do you do, the most enjoyable thing you do? What's something you just really love doing, love being, what makes you happy?
I mean, like, I like being a good man. Like, I feel good, like, about treating my lady good and, like, you know, and our silly animals and things like that. I'm pretty easy. I like a lot of the stuff I've been doing lately, like even with just like the website and all that kind of stuff where it's like, I like
being creative.
Yeah. Seeing the result, like the fruits of these labors, like, you know, and just like, yeah, like, you know, just something that starts off as like just a seed of an idea growing, you know, a little acorn growing into a mighty oak. Like, I like that kind of stuff. And like, you know, like that stuff has been very, very, fruitful and, pleasing as well. I'm a man of, simple pleasures. You know, I mean, I like to eat well, I drink well, I shit well. Like, you know, like, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I kiss well. Like,
yeah.
It's good, man. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like you just, you know what you want. And you're not afraid to do something where I think a lot of, I'm probably a victim of this too, where I'll do something going, wait, should I do this? Because people's perception of me is going to be a certain way. I don't feel like you do that at all. You're like, I'm going to do that. And if people say, fuck it, what is he doing? Then so be it.
Yeah, short of it being like a really close loved one, I actually really don't care what other people think.
You really don't?
Yeah, yeah.
And you learned that probably a long time ago.
Yeah, that's why I stayed off of social media for so long. It's just like, I don't really care. Like, you know, like, yeah, like I don't read comments or anything like that. Like, it's, you know, I always looked at, like, you know, social media is a one-sided conversation anyway. Like, you know, it's a way to talk at people. And yeah. So, like, I mean, I think that works, like, in a certain kind of capacity. Like, when it comes to promotional kind of things or, like, that kind of stuff. Like, hey, go check out my band. We're playing Friday and yada, yada. That makes sense. Like,
yeah.
That's a reason when you interact to talk too much at people.
Right.
It's not that I don't care about people, like, you know, but it's like I really don't care about their opinions. I just don't care about their opinions about me.
Right.
Like, you know,
right.
Like, yeah. Like, it's like, I'm not drowning babies or anything like that. Like, you know, yeah, I'm a good man.
What do you want to do? What do you see yourself doing in the next, just doing what you're doing? Is there something in particular? Would you do another big movie? Would you do you ever watch your old movies? Do you ever laugh at and enjoy what you did and your achievements?
Yeah. I mean, I never actively put them on, but like, you know,
they're on, you're like, all
right. Like, okay. Like, sure. Like, you know, like, but at the same time, I saw Home Alone, like, geez, 4 years ago, but it was the first time in about like 10 something years since I'd seen it and stuff. Like, I don't actively kind of pursue that. I mean, like, look, you know, like 5 years ago, I never would have saw myself in a pizza band. And the next thing I know, like, I'm touring for like 2 fucking years doing that kind of like that kind of silliness. Like, you know, like same thing with like the Bunny Ears website. Like, yeah, I would never have seen myself like necessarily doing that, like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Same thing with a podcast or whatever. Like, I know enough about myself to know that I don't know who I'm going to be. I mean, you know, people change so much. And I know that, like, yeah, I'm, you know, every 7 years, you're biologically a different person. Your cells turn over, like all that kind of stuff. Like, that on a biological level, you're completely, all the cells that were in you all the cells that were in you 7 years ago are not the same cells that you have
I'm
in your body right now.
I'll be in 7 years.
So yeah, no. So every day on my, every birthday, I look back 7 years and look at kind of what that person was and what he wanted or what he thought he wanted and all those kind of things. Like, you know, so I know I change enough. Like, you know,
keep a journal?
Yeah, kind of, but it's not like a proper like kind of journal. It's like, you know, my top 15 favorite quotes from the Charlie Sheen interview, you know, or
right.
You know, yeah, my favorite quotes from Jack Burton, you know, yeah. Or, you know, yeah, like just, you know.
Questions from some people to here to end this thing.
Q&A.
At Isaac_Aguilar 40. If you could do a movie with any person living or dead, who would it be?
I should pick someone like completely impossible. That would be great. Yeah. Let's go with like Heath Ledger. But no. But also, like, how about honestly, I'd love to do a Wes Anderson thing like that. I think that would actually be a relatively good fit.
I think he's fitting.
And
he's fitting that world.
I think I'd fit in that world. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of his stuff.
At Kylan Farrow.
He listens to this podcast. So.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah. There you go. Hey, what's up, Wes?
At Kylan Farrow, has there ever been someone you've looked up to that disappointed you more than once?
No, I really don't look up to people. I mean, you know, besides like, you know, Shaq is pretty tall. But yeah, no, I don't aspire to like be things, you know, it took me long enough to figure out how to just be like, just, you know, to just M.
Yeah.
You know, so like, no, no, like not really. I mean, I you know, no.
At EBGV, what goes through your head when someone recognizes you and then slaps their cheeks and screams?
Honestly, like at this point, I'm kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah. No, never seen that before. I mean, that's really what I like, think. I'm kind of like, okay, cool. Like that. I've already accepted the fact that that's the rest of my life kind of thing, you know? So, yeah. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, yeah, great. Like,
original.
Yeah, no, great. Like, okay, cool. Like, you know, you did that. Like, cause most people think they're going to be really cool. I mean, a celebrity.
No one's ever done that.
I'm going to be really cool and we're going to be friends and stuff like that. And then in the moment they panic and they do something really stupid usually. And so like something like that, I'm like, oh man, like you're not being your best self, are you? I'm going to.
At Tess the Great, when is he doing a pay-per-view fight with Devin Sawa?
When he raises enough on his GoFundMe page. By the way, guys, check out Devin Sawa's GoFundMe page set up by bunnyears.com.
Check it out, fellas. At Things This Week, who's your favorite Muppet?
Oh, I was always a Kermit guy, but
can you do
know,
any impressions?
No,
Kermit the Frog.
No,
that's not bad.
That's all right. Yeah, I love Gonzo too. I'm a old school old hat kind of guy. I like the classics.
At STV Motorcycles, what films do you watch at Christmas?
Oh goodness,
Christmas Vacation.
Oh, Christmas Vacation. There Great. You go. You took the words right out of my fucking
funniest
mouth.
Movie ever.
Yep, that's another John Huser too.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. People forget about.
What's
that.
Your favorite quote in that movie?
Oh my God! Just I don't know. What is yours? Hold on. Buy me some time. What's yours?
Mine's probably like. Shitter's full. Check our shitters, honey. Clark, he's only here for a short time. Eddie? I'd be more surprised if I woke up my head was sewn to the carpet.
Eddie?
People forget also that John Hughes did the Vegas Vacation one too, which is underrated.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, no, honestly, I kind of liked it. Like, you know, when I first saw it, I didn't want to like it for Rusty, for Nick Papagiorgio from Yuma.
Yeah. Auditioned for it.
Ethan Embry. Actually, so they had those Hebdo shootings in Paris, and so there was curfews. Like in Paris, like the first one since World War II. So I was stuck in my like apartment, couldn't leave at night. So I just did, I'm going to do a movie marathon of like late 90s movies. So I watched Vegas Vacation. I watched That Thing You Do. I watched Can't Hardly Wait.
Colin Hanks, That Thing You
and
Do.
And then in general, I realized I'm doing an Ethan Embry marathon. I was like, Ethan Embry was in all those movies. And I was like, oh, cool.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah. He was like across the board. I'm like, I did an accidental Ethan Embry marathon. Yeah. So yeah, Nick Papagiorgio from Yuma loves it.
Well, this has been fantastic. By the way, what's your handle? Your Twitter is?
Oh, I'm at Incredible Culk on the Twitters and at Culkamania on the Instagram. So yeah, you can hear that wrestling influence.
And
there.
Bunny Ears?
Yeah, Bunny Ears Pod.
It's on iTunes, everywhere, on iTunes. Spotify maybe?
Yeah. And you should check it out. It's probably different by the time you hear this, which is good. Check out all our stuff. Go to bunnyears.com because it's a lifestyle website in the best way possible.
You know, and lastly, I mean, I got to bring this up. And in a way, it's like I just want to know. You know, your relationship with Michael Jackson, it was like
ambush me at this in the
end. I'm not going to ambush you, but before I leave, I just wanted to say, what are your thoughts ultimately about it? Because, like, you know, you've heard the whole thing. I just watched a lot of things about him. I think, you know, somebody once reflected and said, you know, what Michael went through as a child, he had to grow up so fast that he related to what you went through as a child. And I think he, in a way, he was trying to protect you.
Yeah.
I mean, I got something that was kind of profound. Did you feel that's
true?
Yeah,
he reached out to me because a lot of things were happening, like, you know, big and fast with me. And I think, yes, I think he identified with that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's almost easy to try to say, oh, it was like weird or whatever. But it wasn't, because it made sense. Like we were legitimate. Like, here's the thing. At the end of the day, we were friends in the most simple.
And he was a child
kind of,
in many ways too. He didn't.
But also, like, we were just like, it's like one of my friendships that people question only because of the fact that he was the most famous person in the world. Like, you know, I'm friends, you know, we're friendly, you know what I mean? And the more people wouldn't question that because we're friends.
Because we're in the same age.
You don't have to explain that also. You don't have to explain your friendships to people. Like, I mean, seriously, how many friendships have you had to really explain to people?
Not many.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's just like,
I think maybe, do you think the age gap is probably why they question it?
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Would an older man, why want to, but only you would know.
Because what I said in the very beginning is I was a peerless person. You know, I was like, yeah, like nobody else in my Catholic school even had like this much idea of what I was going through, you know, or what he was the kind of person who'd like, yeah, been through the exact same freaking thing and wanted to make sure that like I wasn't alone in that kind of.
Was
you know,
he fun?
He was fucking awesome. He was hilarious. He was sweet. And like, yeah, no, people didn't know how funny he fucking was.
See, I envy you that. I envy you.
He liked prank calling people. He actually was really good with his voice, obviously.
Michael Jackson would prank call with you. You'd call some people.
Yep.
What would he say?
I can't do his voices because obviously he was good with his voice. But he'd go like, no. He's like, how are you? And like, yeah, he's like, I'm good. Like, hi, you know, do you have any mattresses in your mattress store? Like, you know, and kind of like, and it was like, yeah, no. And he could do a really good, like, no, he was.
What?
He was fucking hilarious. Like, people, I mean, he was charming, fucking funny, silly. Like, yeah. And here's the thing is that, again, it goes back to something else I was saying, was that I really didn't actually give a shit about famous people. Because I was thoroughly unimpressed by them. So when I first met him, I'm like, okay, cool. You're just that guy.
Yep.
You're like, oh, that guy who sings songs. Like, cool.
Great.
Like, I sing songs in school. That's great. So anyway, like, you know. Like,
but can I hang out with you? Probably not.
So,
right?
I think that's one of the reasons also why we got along is that, like, everyone's always thoroughly impressed by him. And so the fact there was somebody who was kind of just like treated him like a normal person was kind of just like, yeah, like it was that simple. Was that like
he seems like a very like the most generous person?
Yeah,
too.
He was generous, he was gentle.
Do you still have any gifts that he might have given you?
Probably somewhere in the back of my house, you know, but yeah, like, yeah,
give you a birthday gift, happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. For me, it's so normal and mundane. Like, you know, I know it's a big deal to everyone else, but like for me, it's like, yeah, it was a normal, like, you know, it was a normal friendship. Look, yeah.
You should come to the Jackson Halloween party. I'm going. I'm friends with Taj. He's nephew.
I know Taj. Yeah.
Good guys.
I've met him before. Yeah.
Yeah, we play in their softball. Mm. Softball.
I used to play Broadway softball. So there you go.
Broadway softball?
Yeah, there's
Were people really athletic in Broadway softball?
No, I remember one time it was raining, and so we're talking about doing a rain delay kind of thing, and I get out there like, you know, on the field and, you know, just getting rained on. I go, "Are we men? Are we in musical theater?"
And the latter.
And everyone goes, "Musical theater." I go, "Cool, game's called."
That's great. And that was it?
That was it. That's game got called that week.
Oh, dude, this has been a real treat for me.
Yeah,
and I was a little nervous because I was like, you know, I know you and I met you, and I was like trying to explain. I was like, he's just a great guy. You're just a good dude.
Oh, cool.
You are, like, you talk about Michael being a dude, and it's just like, it's a friendship. That's how I felt. Like, I felt instantly comfortable with you. From the podcast to going to camp and not showing you my dong, but being in my towel and farting.
Dong adjacent.
I felt like I could just do anything and you're not going to judge me. I felt like you're not someone who judges. You just do your thing.
Yeah, man. And if I judge you, I wouldn't be here, man.
You know what's funny is I remember after you were on your way out and, you know, your girlfriend was driving and you said, "Hey, dude, when am I doing your podcast?" You're just a genuine dude. Yeah. And
good times. No, I like you too. Like, man, like, yeah, no, listen, I wouldn't have offered or I wouldn't be here. Rob's okay. Rob reminds me of someone. I don't know exactly who it is.
He picked on you in Catholic school.
The corporate guy from the office. What was his
Michael
name?
Michael Jackson.
No.
Michael Scott.
No. Michael Bolton. No, you're thinking Office Space.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the office. Okay, yeah. It's.
We should know that. We just had Stephen Merchant on the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's great. Co-creator of The Office.
He's tall and lanky, ain't he?
Yeah, and smart as hell. Oh, he studied literature and shit.
David Wallace.
Macaulay Culkin, thank you for allowing me to be inside of you.
Thank you. Thank you for being inside of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
That's great. This is great.
All right, cool. Really cool.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.